Nathaniel X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q. Train.
And spirit and all right,
and bring on the knowledge. brain down. Here we go. Try to get it over the soul. Hope regular sex is wild. We need help so we're bringing up the fire to the color shine. Keep everybody worrying on him. You didn't let it through. He came free and let the wise lead us through. But I keep saying, the law is in worry that we are called. We hear it now and always. Right? But all the well. Behind the specs we are added to noise and desire. Nobody needs to go anywhere. We are, we only do it already there.
Praise and comfort for guidance and explanation. I am waiting.
I am embodying. I am trying to get home. I am learning to sing. Monday, August 23rd, 1999, 12 something a.m. Neo Cohn's home, living room. What does your fortune cookie say?
Romance comes into your life this year in a very unusual way.
Wow. I wonder what that would be. Would Burning Man qualify?
I think so.
Oh. Uh-oh. Mine says, when you speak honestly and openly, others truly listen to you. You're not sitting. Mio and I have just entered the day, by the end of which we will be on the road to Black Rock Desert, Nevada, which on August 30th will become Black Rock City, Nevada, when the Burning Man Arts Festival finally begins. We've been both been waiting for this event for the better part of a year. Maybe even longer than me. You've been waiting since September, right?
2 weeks after. About 2 weeks after.
Mid-September. So mid-September, and here it is. You've been waiting about...
6 weeks.
Yeah. Just shy of a year since you first heard about it. And I'm not sure when I first got wind of it, but I think it was maybe a little later in that fall. So maybe 9 or 10 months. And Mio's house is filled with some of the things we're going to bring. Most of the things we're going to bring. In her car, because we're driving, while everybody else coming from Boston is flying, or has flown. Mio today purchased this really groovy bag, shoulder bag, over the neck shoulder bag, over the head shoulder bag, that she's going to carry stuff around in at Burning Man, when she's wearing her tunic and floppy hat. Oh, that's good. That's your eyeglass case. And I got a camera today. Oh, man, that's great. And my first picture was of Mio's cat, Owl.
Anyway, I found recently that I don't seem to have as much to say about anything because essentially everything has devolved to preparations, which are virtually done, and so that until the trip actually begins, there really isn't anything to say except, do we have everything? And we have just about everything. We have over 93%, maybe 96% of everything. And most of that small percentage that's left, we're either going to get on the way or live without or barter for when we get there. So it's as ready as it can be. And since this journal tape had only a few minutes left on it, I thought that I would finish it so that I can begin volume 4 of this series at the right and proper beginning of the trip. Once this tape is done, we're going to watch Twin Peaks on tape. And if watching Twin Peaks is not a good preparation for going to Burning Man, I don't know what is, since they both seem to be of a strange and mysterious nature, yet very appealing. You're not talking into Mike Walkman, you know. Oh, of course we're having a conversation.
Oh, you sounded like you were, like, reporting.
I'm sort of reporting, but I'd rather converse. So, I don't have any thoughts left about Burning Man.
Well, I don't understand why
not. I mean, oh, you're being flipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what thoughts do you have on Burning Man?
Nothing at all.
So you're no more help than I am at this moment.
We're sleep deprived. Overwhelmed.
Oh, sleep deprived, overwhelmed, greatly anticipatory. But the funny thing is that we're not going to be at Burning Man for almost a week. It's like for the next week I'm going to be driving through the rest of the country and its weirdness.
Yeah.
So, getting ready, you know, yeah. But like going to Burning Man means this way means like tomorrow's Monday and we arrive on Saturday, if all goes well. So that's, you know, 6 days of not being at Burning Man and not being here. 6 days of being in almost continuous motion. Mia's doing a slinky with her foot right now. It's an orange slinky. It's clutched between her large right toe and the next largest right toe. Oh, almost out. Well, I guess that's it. Is there anything you want to tell yourself of 3 weeks from now? Any question you want to ask yourself? I guess that's the question I want to ask too. Was it worth it? Okay, that's it for this tape. Soulard out.
Sanyo X with Commander Q.
36 Jesuí fica Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q. Train.
and spirit and all radio, all broadcast, broadcast the world, the world, with all radio, all about the web,
shop around. Mm-hmm, you better shop around. Woo! There's some things that I want you to know now. Just as sure as the wind's gonna blow now. The men'll come and the men'll gonna go now. Before you tell them that you love them so now. My mama told me, you better shop around.
Testing battery strength 1, 2, 3. Testing battery strength 1, 2, 3. Monday, August 23rd, 1999. 8:27 a.m. at Neil Cohen's home, kitchen, 40 Central Street, Beverly, Massachusetts. This is volume 4 of my voice journal. It is also the beginning of my record of the trip that will begin today out to Nevada to Burning Man. We've been cleaning and getting Neil's house in order for about an hour or so, and we stopped to eat muffins, English muffins. And Mio's recording some music to bring on the way. Everything's all systems go. The day outside looks sunny and warm and nice as can be, just about. So it's a good feeling to leave on, to get up early and to leave on a nice, pleasant day. It still feels like the concluding phase of getting ready. I guess this is the last of the getting ready. So I don't have any new thoughts yet, because we're still concluding what we've been doing for months now. Do you have any new thoughts yet, Mio?
No new thoughts.
Same old thoughts. Anyway, this song has begun and the record's begun. And more later. It's 12:23 p.m. now.
What?
Oh. Recording. 12:23 p.m. Mia's kitchen now looks quite presentable after a massive attack on it. Dishes and sweeping and whatnot. Her living room is filled with stuff that's going to be packed into the car. Her bedroom needs a little fussing with, I'm guessing. And so things are going along, and we both agree that we have a great eagerness to get on the road and get underway. But at least departure is being handled well. And I guess that's it for now. Here's a little music before I cut out.
Get up on your bike. Get up on your bike.
Alright, that was someone named Luca Blue. I hope that came out okay. In any event, more later. It's about 5:15 p.m. I'm in Mio Cohen's living room. Our car is packed, and we're ready to go. So this is the final packing report. And her house looks so much better without all this all manner of stuff that was here is now out. And here comes Owl, the cat.
Hi, Owl.
You should record her purring.
If you can get her, worked up.
She's purring like this.
Nobody knows?
There's different theories about how they do it, but no one's proven it.
No one knows how they purr?
No.
like a six. Things to be louder toward the top.
You know, the throat is the closest. I mean, the loudest.
That's freaky. Recording purring. I wonder how that sounds. The answer is it sounds fine.
Look how beautiful the world is.
That sound is the sound of the engine starting.
5:26
p.m.
71716.75 miles.
Did you hit the reset button?
Yes. 0-0.
And the trip button's on 0. Alright. It's 7:43 p.m. We've traveled 96 miles. We're currently on I-84 near exit 71. Our car, Mio's car.
Our car for the duration.
Our car for the duration has fussed a little bit with an evil check engine signal. Well, not evil, but just sort of seemingly random, and it kind of got the better of us for a while, and then what happened was we pulled over for about the third time, and we're sitting there really about to probably not know what to do next, when this state trooper appeared in the window. He was an older man, and he seemed benign and genuinely concerned and friendly. There was no malice about him or suspicion or any of those characteristics that some cops have, and he ascertained the situation, and he said that everything should be fine, as long as his advice came down to, if you don't feel it and you don't see it and you don't hear it, then it's probably the sensor is probably responding to the weight of the extra weight on the rear axle of the car. Is that right?
Yeah. The car being out of balance.
The car is out of balance and the sensor is responding to that. So, we've since discussed it to the point that we both probably can deal with it and decided that we're going to shift things around a little bit and possibly ditch some of the bottled water we brought, which adds up to a pretty heavy amount of 100 pounds?
200 pounds.
200 pounds. And see how that goes. Meanwhile, the check engine sensor light has not gone on in a while. And so we're just going to go with it. And part of going with it is reading some Robert Heinlein from Time Enough for Love. Section 1 is called the Green Hills. The star yacht Dora hovered 2 meters over the pasture, the lower hatch irised open. Lazarus gave Lassie and Laurie a last quick squeeze and dropped to the ground, rolled with the impact, rolled to his feet, hurriedly got clear of the ship's field. He waved and the ship lifted straight up, a round black cloud against the stars. Then it was gone. He looked quickly around him. Dipper, North Star, okay, fence that way, row beyond, and Caesar's ghost, a bull. He cleared the fence with inches to spare, a few feet ahead of the bull. Lazarus is moving so fast that his speed made necessary another rolling landing. He wound up in the middle of a rutted dirt road, while reflecting that many more of that sort would not approve his appearance. He patted his pockets, especially an extra pocket concealed by the bib of his overalls, and decided that nothing was missing. He missed the comfort of a blaster on his hip, but knew that any sort of gun would be a mistake for this time and place. A facsimile jackknife was all he carried. His hat, the ditch? No, 10 feet inside the fence, which might as well be 10 miles. The bull was keeping an eye on him. A hat was not necessary, and if anyone found it and noticed that it was not quite right, well, there was nothing to connect it with him. Forget it. North Star again. That town should be about 5 miles down this road, straight as the turtle flies. He set out. Lazarus stood in front of the print shop of the Dade County Democrat. It's Florida, isn't it? Yeah. Looking at sheets posted inside the glass, but not reading. He was thinking. He had just had a shock, and the pretense of continuing to read posted newspapers let him do so in quiet. He had read a date, and now needed to reconstruct some ancient history. August 1st, 1916. 1916? He saw reflected in the glass a figure coming down the sidewalk, heavy-set, middle-aged, wearing a gun belt almost concealed by the belly overflowing it, a holstered hog leg on his right thigh, star on his left breast, otherwise dressed much as Lazarus was dressed. Lazarus continued to stare at a posted front page of the Kansas City Journal. Oh, so he's in Missouri. Morning. Lazarus turned. Good morning, Chief. Just the constable, son. Stranger hereabouts? Yes. Passing through, or staying with someone? Passing through, unless I find work. That's a good answer. What trade do you follow? I was raised on a farm, but I'm an all-around mechanic. Wait a minute, August 1st, 1916. That's, don't tell me how much I've guessed, but that was the year he was born in any event.
No, 1912.
No, he was born in 1916. What it says in the back.
It's wrong. Look in the front.
It's wrong?
That's what's wrong.
Jesus. They have an inaccurate picture and a...
Page lists all his names.
I don't doubt you. I just... I can't believe it. I mean, I believe you. I can't believe they got it wrong. Why would they have, why would they, what kind of idiots? Oh, here we go. So they list all his names.
Our friend that lights on again.
Yeah.
Oh, well. It doesn't say when he was born?
No. Born in 1912. Right here. That's ridiculous. Wow. Okay. Oh well. I was raised on a farm, but I'm an all-around mechanic, or anything, for an honest dollar. Well, I'll tell you, not many farmers take on hands right now. As for anything else, things are slow in the summertime. You wouldn't be one of those IWWs, would you? IW what? A wobbly, son. Don't you read the papers? This is a friendly community. Always glad to have visitors, but not that kind. The local well raised one hand to wipe away sweat and gave a lodge recognition sign. Lazarus knew how to answer it and decided not to. Where was his home lodge? That's a good question, officer. So let's not let it come up. Yeah, I see. The constable went on. Well, since you're not one, you're welcome to ask around and see if somebody needs help. He looked at the front page Lazarus had been pretending to read. Terrible what those U-boats are doing, isn't it? He said. Lazarus agreed it was. Still, the officer added, if people stayed home and mind their own business, it wouldn't happen. Live and let live, I always say. What church do you attend? Well, my folks are Presbyterians. So? Meaning you haven't attended lately. Well, sometimes I miss myself when the fish are biting. But see that church up the street? The belfry through the elms. If you do find work, why, come Sunday, 10 o'clock, let me extend you the right hand of fellowship there. Methodist Episcopal. But there ain't all that much difference. This is a tolerant community. Thank you, sir. I'll be there. Good. Very tolerant. Mostly Methodists and Baptists, but a few Jack Mormons on farms around here. Good neighbors. They always pay their bills. A few Catholics, and nobody holds it against them. Why, we've even got a Jew. Sounds like a good town. It is. Local option and clean living. Just one thing. If you don't find work, about half mile beyond the church, you'll find a city limit sign. If you're unemployed and have no local address, it's best to be on the other side of it come sundown. I see. Or I would have to run you in. No hard feelings, that's just the way it is. No tramps or niggers after sundown. I don't make the rules, son, I just enforce them. And that's how Judge Marsteller defines a tramp. Some of our good ladies have been pushing him, things stolen off of clotheslines and the like. So it's $10 or 10 days, which isn't too bad, as the lockup is right in my house. The food's not fancy, as I'm allowed only 40 cents a day to board a prisoner, though for 50 cents more, you can eat what we do. No intention of making things hard, you understand. It's just that the judge and the mayor aim to keep this a quiet, law-abiding place. I understand. Certainly no hard feelings, because you won't have occasion to lock me up. Glad to hear it. Anyway, any way I can help you, son, just let me know. Thank you. Perhaps you can right now. Do you know of an outhouse a stranger might use, or had I better try to hold it until I'm out of town and can find some bushes? The officer smiled. Oh, I think we can be that hospitable. The courthouse has a real city-type flush toilet, but it's not working. Let me think. Blacksmith down this way sometimes accommodates automobilists. Automobilists. That's it. We are automobilists. Passing through. I'll walk down with you. That's mighty kind of you. Glad to. Better tell me your name. Ted Bronson. The blacksmith was trimming a hoof on a young gelding. Gelding. He looked up. Hi, Deacon. Howdy, Tom. This young friend of mine, Ted Bronson, has a case of Kansas Quick Step. Can he use your privy? The blacksmith looked Lazarus over. Help yourself, Ted. Try not to go clear back to the harness section. What?
Referring to the catalog that'll be in there for paper. Usually a Sears robot catalog was used.
Uh-huh.
In outhouses for toilet paper.
Yeah.
So, he's saying don't use too many sheets.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Thank you, sir. Lazarus followed the path behind the shop, was pleased to find that the privy had a door with no cracks and could be hooked from the inside. He got at the extra pocket hidden by the bib of his overalls, took out money. Paper banknotes, convincing in every detail. They were restored replications of originals in the Museum of Ancient History in New Rome. Counterfeit by definition, but the restorations were so perfect that Lazarus would not hesitate to use them, to utter them, in any bank. To utter them? Utter them.
Utter?
Utter them.
U-T-T-E-R?
Yeah. Except for one thing. What dates did they carry? He quickly shuffled the paper money into two packs, 1916 and earlier, and post-1916. Then, without hesitating or stopping to count, he shoved the usable banknotes into a pocket, tore a page from the Montgomery Ward catalog in the Cobb box, packaged the useless bills so they would not be spotted as money, dropped the package into the cesspool. Then he got out the coins still in that secret pocket and checked their dates. He noted that most of them carried Deming mints. Those followed the paper money. He wasted a full second admiring a perfect replica buffalo nickel. Such a pretty thing. He gave sober thought, at least 2 seconds, to a massive $20 gold piece. Gold was gold. Its value would not be diminished if he melted it down or pounded it into a shapeless lump. but it was a hazard until he could deface it, as the next town clown might not be as friendly as this one. Down it went. He felt lighthearted then. Queer money was a serious offense here, good for a number of years in prison, unpleasant and difficult to escape from. But lack of money was a correctable nuisance. Always going back to that. Lazarus had considered arriving with no money at all, then had compromised by taking enough for a few days to let him look around, reorient, get used to the customs and the lingo again before having to scratch for a living. He had never considered trying to fetch enough to last 10 years. Never mind, this was more fun, a good practice for the much harder job of tackling an error he had never known. Elizabethan error. England. Now that would be a challenge. He counted what he had left, $3.87. Not bad. The blacksmith said, thought you'd fallen in. Feel better? Much better, thanks a lot. Don't mention it. Deacon Ames says you claim to be a mechanic. I'm handy with tools. Ever work in a smithy? Yes. Let me see your hands. Lazarus let his palms be inspected. The blacksmith said, city feller. Lazarus made no comment. Or maybe you got those soft hands in the cooler. In the cooler. I suppose that would account for it. Thanks for the use of your facilities. Wait a jiffy, 30 cents an hour and you do what I tell you, and I may fire you after the first hour. Okay. Know anything about automobiles? Automobiles. Something like that. Some. See if you can get that Tin Lizzy moving. Smith jerked his head toward the far side of his shop. Lazarus went outside, looked over the Ford runabout he had noted there earlier. Its turtleback had been removed. His turtleback had been removed and a wooden box had been fitted to convert it into a pickup truck. Its wheel spokes showed signs of muddy roads, but it appeared to be in fair condition. He removed the front seat, checked the gasoline with a dipstick he found there, half a tank. He checked the water, added some from the shop's pump, then opened the hood and inspected the engine. The lead from magneto to coil box is not attached. He reconnected it. He set the handbrake, decided that it was not very firm, so he blocked the wheels. Only then did he switch on ignition, open the throttle, and retard the spark. He cautiously tucked his thumb by his fingers rather than around the crank, then brought the crank up high, pushed and spun it. The motor racketed. The little car shook. He rushed to the driver's side of the car, reached in and advanced the spark 3 notches and eased the throttle to idle. The Smith was watching. All right, turn it off and come give me some wind on the forge. Neither of them mentioned the disconnected lead. What was that, like a trick or something? No. When the Smith, named Tom Hymans, stopped to eat lunch, Lazarus walked 2 blocks to a grocery store he had passed, bought a quart of grade A raw milk, 5 cents, 3 cents deposit on the battle, looked at a nickel loaf of bread, then decided to splurge on a big dime loaf. He had had no breakfast. He walked back to the blacksmith shop and greatly enjoyed his lunch while he listened to Mr. Hymans' opinions. He was a progressive Republican, but this time... Oh, man, what is this with the typos, man? This time, he was going to switch, and they got this wrong? See? This is what happens if you don't stay up till fucking 5 in the morning, and you depend on spell checks and things. I mean, exclusively. This is what happens. You get this thing wrong, the back cover. I'm going to show this to Barbara. I'm going to show this to her.
It shouldn't... Every time it's ever listed when his, you know, like, he's not dead, so there shouldn't be any date.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, you got this wrong, and then there was that word utter that was completely wrong.
Right.
And then time. Crappy. Anyway, but the book's good, so... Oh, he was a progressive Republican, but this time he was going to switch. Mr. Wilson had kept us out of the war. Not that he's done the country any good otherwise. The high cost of living is worse than ever, and besides that, he's pro-British. But that fool Hughes probably means...
Can I interrupt and ask, are we just staying on 84 for a while?
Yes. Let me do a double check on that, and then we'll go back to this. We've done well. We passed this page.
Oh, cool.
We're on the next page. We're staying on 84. We're staying on 84.
New York and everything.
Oh man, into Scranton. We're staying on 84. We'll be approaching Scranton, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
But let's note the time. I'll say it was about 8 o'clock when we, so we're on the next map, and 23:99. Feeling better?
Yeah.
It's good getting the Highland into the thing.
Yeah.
And we had the trooper help us out. I think we got things on our side. And then we got little bits of things to keep us aware. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So now this map, we'll get to, exit 27, I'll be with this map, it's 159, so it'll be a while. And we're going to pass by at least the area where the boys are, some of the boys.
Okay.
The boys.
Oh, our boys, yeah.
Our boys, yeah.
Your boys are becoming my boys.
Yes. You can consider yourself as adopted by them as I am by Owl.
Okay.
I think. Pretty cool. I like this. There's certain aspects to this book I'm learning. There's the Lazarus having adventures out in some world, getting by his wits and his wisdom. And then there's all this, like, sitting around and everybody's sort of cuddling each other and all sort of self-righteous about how wonderful they are. And while I enjoy that part, I really like seeing Lazarus in the world making his way.
Yeah.
Something about it is, like, it's more fiction and story, and the other part is more, like, philosophy in a way that, if it goes on too long, can be a little bit cloying. It doesn't ever really go on too long. Thankfully, when it just seems to have gone on too long, it stops, and suddenly Lazarus is counting false coins in an outhouse in, in Missouri. Being told not to go to the harness section of the Sears Roebuck, so...
I like it too because
you were reading from that book in the Tobago. Oh, was I?
Yeah, when we stopped at the first rest area, stopped and ate chicken, I think.
That's right, and I was reading from a passage from it.
Oh, actually, we ate all kinds of junk food because all the different
restaurants were
closed.
We were at a Burger King, not refusing to eat Burger King food.
Right.
Just soda.
Soda and candy bars and crackers.
Yeah, that was fun. The hell of a book, man. I'm almost on page 500 and the thing's still going.
We had known that was going to be our last regular meal. Probably would have eaten Burger King.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm sorry, what did you say? You're on page 500 and...
No, it's 455 and there's still this chunk left. It's a long book.
Yeah.
It's a long book, man. Okay, so you got himself some bread. You listen to Mr. Hyman's opinions. Okay, here's Hyman's talking about Mr. Wilson kept us out of the war. Not that he's done the country any good otherwise. The high cost of living is worse than ever, and besides that, he's pro-British. But that fool Hughes would have us in the European war overnight. Is that Howard Hughes, or maybe I guess it would be the Hughes that were running against Wilson. I don't think Howard Hughes ran for president, so. That's another guy. It's a hard choice. I'd like to vote for La Follette, but they didn't have enough sense to nominate him. Germany's going to win, and he knows it, and we'd look pretty silly trying to pull England's chestnuts out of the fire. Lazarus agreed solemnly. Hyman's told Ted, to show up at 7 the next morning, but just before sundown, almost $3 richer, and his stomach well padded with sausage, cheese, and crackers, Lazarus was well beyond the city limits sign and moving west. He had nothing against the town or the blacksmith, but he had not risked this trip to spend 10 years in a country town at 30 cents an hour. He intended to stir around, recapture the flavor of the time. Does the reader know why he's in 1916 America? Or is that something that... Is he doing it for nostalgia, or is he, like, on a mission? And would I know the mission? So have I forgotten it? I read it and I forgot it.
He's going back to his childhood. His first time journey is going to be to where he grew up.
Right, and this is the test, right?
This is the first one.
Oh, this is the first one. So he wants to see where he grew up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there was that conversation about Nelly, the chairman pro tem of the Howard family.
Right.
Wants him to go to all these places where they're having wars and all this kind
right,
of stuff.
Right.
Like, I just don't think so.
Right. Okay. But besides, Hymens had been too inquisitive. Lazarus had not minded the inspection of his hands or the suggestion that he might be fresh out of jail, and the disconnected wire was a standoff. But when Lazarus had parried a question about his accent with generalities, the smith had tried to pin him down with just where in Indian Territory he had lived as a child and when did his folks come down from Canada. A larger community meant fewer personal questions and more opportunities to lay hands on more than 30 cents an hour without quite stealing it. He had been walking an hour when he came across a stranded automobilist, an old country doctor plagued with a flat tire on a Maxwell. Lazarus dismounted a coal oil sidelight and had the physician hold it while he patched the tube, replaced the tire, and pumped it up, then refused to tip. Dr. Chaddock said, "Red, do you know how to drive these gas buggies?" Lazarus admitted that he did. Well, I must say for me that passing south of Harford is a thing I've not done in a while. So, just noting little, like, points. "Red, do you know how to drive these gas buggies?" Lazarus admitted that he did. "Well, son, since you're headed out west anyhow, what would you say to driving me to Lamar, then a shakedown on the couch in my waiting room, breakfast, and 4 bits to boot for your trouble?" "I say yes to all of it, doctor, save that there's no need to waste cash on me. I'm not broke." "Stuff and nonsense." Oh, that's a great phrase. I love that. "Stuff and nonsense." That's a good phrase.
And Anna Green Gables, Marilla says that all the time.
Yeah. "Argue about it in the morning. I'm plumb tuckered out. This day started before daybreak. Used to be, I'd wind the reins around the whip and nap until the mare got us home. But these things are stupid." He sounds like Lazarus. I have a feeling I'm not going to utter aloud about this guy. "After a breakfast of fried eggs, fried ham, fried potatoes, pancakes with sorghum and country butter, watermelon preserves, strawberry preserves, cream that would barely pour, and endless coffee saucered and blowed, the doctor's housekeeper's old maid sister had kept plying Lazarus, insisting that he wasn't eating enough to keep a bird alive, he set out again, a dollar richer, much cleaner, and looking less like a hayseed, for spit and shinola." Shinola. "And elbow grease had improved the appearance of his shoes, and Miss Nettie had insisted on giving him some old clothes. Might as well be you, Roderick, as the Salvation Army." Oh, he's now Roderick. "Here, take this tie, too. Doc doesn't wear it anymore. Look neat when you look for work, I always say. I do declare, I won't hardly open the screen door to give a man a handout if he won't wear a necktie." Okay, so the usual thing for me for a long time has been this exit, because this is the exit to the bus station, which is where I, you know, get off.
Right.
Or, I suppose, a little further on, you know, the New Britain exits. Sigourney Street, by the way, is the street my family was living on when I was born. Named after Lydia Sigourney, a sentimental 19th century lady poet. Yeah. whatever that's worth. Okay, let's see. So won't give a man a handout if he don't wear a necktie. He accepted it all, aware that she was right, aware also that Dr. Chaddock would have spent a bad night trying to sleep in his automobile while his sister worried had not Lazarus come along. Accounts balanced. He thanked her and promised to send them a postcard from Kansas City. Then he abandoned the bundle in the first bushes he came to, feeling mild regret as those clothes would wear indefinitely despite the worn look built into them. But they were slightly anachronistic in cut, and he had never expected to wear them any longer than he had to, and a man on the road could not afford to look like a bindle stiff, which Miss Nettie probably didn't know. He found the railroad but avoided the depot. He posted himself at the north edge of town and waited. A passenger train and a freight headed south went by. Then about 10 o'clock, a freight showed up heading north and still slowly gaining speed. Lazarus swung aboard. He made no effort not to be seen and let the brakeman shake him down for a dollar, a replica dollar. His authentic dollars were now under a bandage on the inside of his left thigh. Survival instincts are wonderful.
Yeah.
I think Lazarus reminds me of he's kind of like when he's on the road, like scrapping his way. He's like a wild animal. He's like just, you know, trying to make his way in the world, using what he knows in the most basic way. And then when he's among his family, it's like he's caged.
Yeah.
Even though he's happy, and certainly the amorous adventures are not caged, but I really like him scrapping. He really has a way of adapting that I really admire, you know?
Yeah, I love that whole part. I was thinking about the part where he's passing to go over the mountain to Dora when we were packing the car.
Right. Thump. Made that one okay. Yeah, that was... That passage, that whole thing with Dora... And the Happy Valley.
Yeah.
I still, like, that passage sticks out for me pretty clearly.
That's one of my favorite. I think that is my favorite part of
it. It's really,
book.
Yeah. So now we're passing near Jim's place. Exit 43. It was right off exit 43. Oh, watch out. Okay, sorry.
Thank you.
So, sudden, brief, weird signal. Maybe that's good. Maybe I'm developing a little more awareness. Yeah, exit 43 is Jim's exit. You know he's wishing he's going to Burning Man.
Yeah.
Let's see. So his authentic dollars are now under a bandage on the inside of his left thigh. The brakeman warned him that there might be a railroad dick at the next stop. Don't give him more than a dollar. And there were Pinkertons in the KC Yards if he was going that far, so don't. Those beauties would take his dollar and work him over anyhow. Lazarus thanked him and thought about asking what line this was, the Missouri Pacific, but decided that it did not matter. It did not matter. It was headed north, and the brakeman's advice let him know that it was going far enough to suit him. After a long, hot day, half of it in a gondola, half in an empty boxcar that was small improvement, Lazarus dropped off as Vet Train, T-H-E-T. It should be the.
Vet Train. Yes.
See, now, I didn't notice all these errors earlier in the book. So it means that this manuscript was probably given in parts to different proofreaders. It probably wasn't just one person. And yet it's never one person. They always, like, double-check each other, but they screwed up.
But do you maybe notice more, just, like, you proofread by reading out loud? Is there maybe more, like, a different part of your brain engaged when you read out loud and you notice them more?
No. No, I notice them like you notice colors.
Yeah, well...
Yeah.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q.
36 X with Commander Q. Train.
and spirit and radio,
almost to the end of this chapter, which is good. Here we go. Okay. After a long, hot day, half been in a gondola, half been an empty boxcar that was small improvement, Lazarus dropped off as the train passed through Swope Park. He was such a weary, dirty mess that he almost regretted not having brought a ticket. But he put it out of his thoughts, knowing that arriving in a city with no money could wind up as $30 or 30 days, instead of the mild tariff of a small town. As it was, he had almost $6, most of it quote-unquote real money. He noted with delight that Swope Park looked familiar, despite the centuries. He hurried on through and found the end of the Swope Park streetcar line. While he waited for the infrequent weekday service, he paid a jitney for a triple-dip ice cream cone and ate it with relish, peace in his soul. Another 5 cents and a long trolley ride with one transfer took him into downtown Kansas City. Lazarus enjoyed every minute and wished it was longer. How peaceful and clean and tree-shaded the city was. How gently bucolic. He recalled another time he visited his own old hometown. What century? Sometime
early in the diaspora, he thought, when a citizen venturing out into its filthy canyon streets wore a steel helmet simulating a wig, a bulletproof vest and codpiece, spectacles that were armor, gloves that covered brass knuckles, and other concealed and illegal weapons, but rarely went out into the streets. It was more discreet to stick to transportation pods and go outdoors only in the guarded suburbs, especially after dark. But here and now guns were legal, and no one wore them. He got off the streetcar at McGee, found the YMCA, by asking a policeman. There for half a dollar, he was given a key to a small cubicle, a towel, and a small bar of soap. After wallowing in a shower, Lazarus returned to the lobby, having noted both Bell and home telephones at the desk, with a notice, local calls 5 cents, pay the desk clerk. He asked to use the telephone books, found it in the Bell System book. Chapman, Bowles, and Finnegan, attorneys at law. R.A. Long Building, yes, that made sense. He searched again, found Chapman Arthur J., attorney, with a Passio address. Wait till tomorrow? No harm of seeing if Justin had the correct answers. He slid a nickel to the desk clerk, asked for the Bell telephone. Number, please? Central, give me Atwater 1224. Hello? Is this the home of Mr. Arthur J. Chapman, the attorney? This is he. Mr. Ira Howard told me to call you, counselor. Interesting. Who are you? Life is short, but the years are long, the lawyer answered. Not while the evil days come nigh. Very well. What can I do for you, sir? Trouble? No, sir. Will you accept an envelope to be delivered to the secretary of the foundation? Yes. Can you bring it to my office? Tomorrow morning, sir? Say about 9:30 would be fine. I must be in court by 10. Thank you, sir. I'll be there. Good night. You're welcome. Good night to you, sir. There was a writing desk in the lobby with another notice to see the desk clerk, along with a homily, have you written to your mother this week? Lazarus asked for a sheet of paper and an envelope, saying truthfully that he wanted to write home.
That plaintiff said only it was some architect or somebody's office?
Yes, this is the 1 to 72, which takes you to Britain and Plainville.
Oh, wait a minute, let me think. Yeah, this will take you to Britain. And Crooked Street will take you to Plainville, which is Mark's thing. Very good.
And 8:25, which is 3 hours on the road, and then 136 miles.
8:25, 136 miles. For three hours.
And it'd be 137
by the time the clock ticks. So that's we're averaging 44 miles an hour.
We stopped for gas, we stopped three times, and we had to get out of Beverly, getting to the highway. Right after one point, cool. Okay, I need to write home, the clerk gave them to him.
That's what we like to hear, Mr. Jenkins. Sure one sheet is enough? If not, I'll ask for another. Thanks. After breakfast, coffee and a donut, 5 cents left.
This dude has a really good way of depicting different time periods. He's a very, very good at this. This is like little details that are very, you know, the mark of someone who's done his research and thought a lot about what he's doing.
Okay, that's good. It's nice.
After breakfast, coffee and a donut, 5 cents. Lazarus located a stationery shop on Grand Avenue and invested 15 cents in 5 envelopes that would nest in series. Went back to the Y and prepared them, then delivered them by hand to Mr. Chapman, despite pursed-lipped disapproval of Mr. Chapman's secretary. The outer envelope read, Secretary of the Ira Howard Foundation. The next one read to the Secretary of the Howard Families Association as of the year 2100. The next one read, please hold in the family's archives for 1,000 years, inert atmosphere recommended. The fourth read to be opened by the Chief Archivist in office in Gregorian year 4291. The fifth envelope read, please deliver on request to Lazarus Long or to any member of his Tertius Colony family.
Wow, this is freaky.
Inside this envelope was the envelope from the YMCA, enclosing the note Lazarus had written the night before. The envelope had on it all the names of his boondock family, with Lapis Lazuli and Lorelei Lee heading the list. Darlings, I goofed. I arrived 2 days ago, 3 years early. But I still want you to pick me up exactly 10 years after you drop me at the impact crater, i.e. 2 August 1926, Gregorian. Please assure Dora that this is not her fault. It is either mine or Andy's, or perhaps the instruments we had available then were not sufficiently accurate. If Dora wants to recalibrate, not necessary, as exactly 10 years from drop remains the rendezvous. Tell her to get Eclipses of Soul by Luna for this 10 years from Athene. I haven't had time to look them up as I've just reached Kansas City. Everything is absolutely all right. I am in good health, have enough money, and am perfectly safe. I'll write other and longer letters, better preserved, no time to have this one etched, using all the mail drops Justin suggested. Kiss everyone for me. Long letter follows. My undying love, old buddy boy. P.S. I hope it's a boy and a girl. Wouldn't that be fun? So, there's that.
That was great.
You're welcome. Test this. Sure. Hybrid.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. It's about 9:57 p.m. Southbury Plaza, Oriental Gourmet Restaurant, Southbury, Connecticut. We've traveled about 170 miles and just ate dinner. Mostly different kinds of chicken, some white rice, tea, and crab rangoon. And we're going to push on for Scranton, Pennsylvania, which would bring our driving total today up to over 300 miles, which would be really good if it can work out. No concerns at this point. The car seems to be going along better than it was. My fortune cookie talked about having to watch for signs and symbols, pay attention to things. Note things. That makes sense. I'm gonna do that. Mia's in the bathroom right now. I've now written 3 poems in an untitled series of poems that have some vague relation to Stranger America. But I don't know where they're going yet. This restaurant is okay. It's got plastic vines running around its supporting beams and fake flowers with fake drops of water on them. And a big picture lit up from behind of the Great Wall of China. That's pretty cool, I have to say. Pretty big picture. It's pretty impressive. Probably the most impressive thing. Lamps with things hanging from them, sort of bejangled lamps. Anyway, so paying attention to things and hoping that the night, first day of traveling, comes to a good, spirited conclusion. More later. Okay, it's 10:45 p.m. Driving along, what do they say, Highway 80, Interstate 80?
Interstate 84.
Mile 195, and we've just passed from Connecticut into New York State. So, approaching 200 miles and into New York, third state today, third state of the past just about 5.5 hours. So, pretty good. More later. Oh, and listening to Pete Townsend's White City, a novel. Wonderful album.
With Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q. Train.
On Spirit and on Radio. Long Podcast. Broadcast the world.
36X with Commander Q.
Radio. Long Radio.com. Tune in. MVDM. And the web. At Long Radio. Long Radio.com. For sharing the archive and your more.
11:58 p.m., approaching midnight, approaching Pennsylvania border. feet above sea level. At least a few minutes ago. Misty moonlight fields. We're in Pennsylvania. Arrived Pennsylvania 1 minute before midnight, August 23rd, 1999. Chris Isaac on the stereo, going at it. All right, boogie on. Oh, and we're at mile 267. It's 12:36 a.m. on Tuesday, August 24th, 1999, and still on I-84. And when we crossed into Pennsylvania, we pull off the side of the highway, pull off an exit, the first exit, to a gas station to fill up, and we met this dude named Dale in his early 50s from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and we had a really nice talk with him. He's been a trucker for 8 weeks. He said he'd been on the road for 28 days, and he was facing this sort of dilemma at the moment because he pulled his truck off to make some kind of phone call, but there was some kind of overnight prohibition
for trucks entering the Pennsylvania Welcome Center, so he was having a hard time now getting his truck back onto the interstate. And so we talked to him for a while and told him about Burning Man, and I gave him a copy of the Orpheus book. And it was a very sweet kind of pre-Burning Man encounter. It was kind of like the trooper back a ways who, yeah, we didn't hug the trooper, though.
Yeah.
We would have hugged the trooper. Yeah, no, you can't hug troopers. But it was a verbal thing.
No for troopers.
No for troopers, yeah, yeah. No for troopers. But yeah, we gave Dale each a hug before he parted on his way to his truck. And he seemed so grateful for the contact, for finding some friendly people on his way. And
he told me he was so surprised that you came up to talk to
him. Yeah. It was, I think he just come from a phone. Like, maybe there was a phone around the corner of the building.
Yeah.
And he just looked, he looked lost and angry and puzzled and, you know, at odds with things. And I approached him, and he was so sort of into his moment that whatever inhibitions he might have had about just talking to someone, like, he forgot to be inhibited or something, because I just came up and asked him what's wrong, which is like a very verboten East Coast mentality thing. You don't ask strangers what's wrong, because they will immediately say, if their hearts are bursting at the moment, if their brains are spilling out, they'll say nothing, and they'll give you a dirty look.
Yes.
And they'll edge away and sort of bleed out of their brains, like they'll turn the bleeding part away from you so you can't watch it anymore, because you're like nosing into their business. Stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's an ugly image, but this dude was like, he was hurting in his moment, and it just seemed like the right thing to do, to say hello, and I didn't really think about it, so whatever. But then we got into this great rap, you know, and then you came over, and it was just perfectly natural and wonderful, you know. That's just, and he was saying how on the West Coast or out west, it's you know, the vistas get bigger and the people are a little mellower and things aren't so bad, things aren't so intense. So anyway, that was a good encounter, and it's nice to know that it's nice for me and Mio to know in the little car here, well, the semi-little car, the little station wagon car.
Little car.
That our friend Dale is out there somewhere trucking along.
With us.
And
he's going to 81 too.
Oh, he's going to 81 also?
But he's going north when we go south.
Ah, okay. So we're on the same road as him for a while, and he's got us to think about on his way, and, you know, to, like, not lose... I wrote in my signing his book, I wrote, keep on trucking, keep the faith and keep on trucking. So anyway, that was, it's funny that before we pulled into that rest stop, I was feeling kind of bumming, because it's like I haven't yet, like, to render new experiences artistically in the moment of them occurring is something that it takes some doing. It's like you got to get into the head, and then once you're into the head, it's like water, you know, it's like being out in the ocean. And there's no land, and you just gotta swim, so you swim.
We had our first dose of Burning Man.
What?
We had our first dose of Burning Man.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting about the road, too, because, like, our two good encounters were both road encounters.
Yes.
One was a trooper seeing a car in distress, and then the other was me seeing this dude at a, you know, essentially a rest stop in distress, in a sense. And, yeah, so, you know, I told the lady at the Chinese restaurant we ate at that you just never know what next. You got to hang on because you don't know what's next. And sometimes saying it, it's like, it's best, that's an assertion best proven not in talk, but in it actually happening, something unexpected happening, and...
What did your fortune say?
It said pay attention and be aware of signs and symbols and stuff. You know, be patient.
Did it say something about new experiences?
It might have. That's this bit. The car is descending long hill, and the moon is almost full. And tonight reminds me of Glover, even though the moon's not quite full. It reminds me of Glover in the sense of the big vista sky and surrounded by trees, and there's no buildings, and there's just sort of a sense of fullness and desolateness at the same time. There's a sense of the vastness of everything, but the night always brings a certain kind of peculiar, somewhat sometimes somber poetry to things, and I really like it, but you know, I recognize it for what it is. So, and now that car is climbing again, still trees, still road, and all, still Chris Isaak on the radio. I mean, on the stereo tape player. So that was cool. That was cool. That's a little incident from the road, and I'm sure there will be a number more. But they start to pile up, and they start to affect the mind, and then the mind starts to like get groovy, and that's what I'm looking for. And Dale said, he said to me, which was really nice. He said, I think with your open mind and open, you know, attitude, that I'd find good things out in the desert. He said he loves the desert, so that's cool. That's cool. Anyway, at some point there'll be a fat joint smoked in Dale's honor. Tell Chuck about him. Tell Chuck about the Dale the Trucker, and he'll love it. And so that's it for this entry.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q.
36X with Commander Q. Train.
On spirit and on radio. On podcast. Broadcast the world.
36X with Commander Q.
On radio. On radio.com. Tune in. MVP and the web. At on radio. On radio.com. For sharing the archivement.
Trolling the FM stations in Pennsylvania at 12 something in the morning. I'll tell you that. It's 12:59 in the AM. Oh man, the FM stations are really lacking. They won't lock in. I think what it is that oh, here we go. Here's one. Is that the one we just had?
Hop on the Froggy 101 Hot Ticket Tours Concert Express and see this guy, Alan Jackson, Andy Grigg, at PNC Bank Art Center in New Jersey Friday night. There's still some seats left for this great show. Call me on the Froggy phone for details. 1-800-570-013.
Go.
Hey, John, that was John Murphy. That was for you back in Cambridge. That was some song I bet you know or heard. Miles and Miles of Texas. So maybe that'll make it onto one of my shows, and if it does, that one's for you, John Murphy, because, you know, I probably don't ever play any of the kind of music you're particularly close to, but I bet that's the kind of tune that you've heard and would like, so there's that kind of thing going down. All right. One more thing. All right. No. Yes. Now we're trolling the AM. Neil's being very patient putting up with this. I promise some real music is coming soon.
Speedway for a special grand opening celebration at the new Speedway Travel Center, Satsuma, Alabama. Great guy produces lots of fun. Breakfast and coffee's on us. You heard right. Stop by during the grand opening, and a delicious breakfast is yours with our compliment from the Hardee's located inside the Speedway Travel Center. So come on out to the new Speedway Travel Center, Satsuma, Alabama, I-65 and exit 19, this Thursday night till 4:30 Friday morning. Breakfast is on the house. Wherever you go, we're the name you know. We're the truck stops and... What you believe keeps your valuables safe may not be any help at all. Troubleshooter, hurrying tonight on 12 News at 11. The W12 Forecast. On your official weather station, News Radio 700, WLW.
Coming cloudy overnight with a few showers and possibly a thunder shower late below 65. 75 now. I'm Pat Brogan, News Radio 700, WLW.
Continuing coverage coming up at the bottom of the hour. Only things at 1. News Radio 700 WLW. There's been a lot of talk these days about tough new EPA regulations.
All right.
216 Plains Road West, near Botanical Gardens. Visit weekdays 1 till 6, weekends 1 till 5.
The 900 CHML Weather Center forecast. Clouds moving in overnight.
What's up?
Near 16. Material cloudy with sunny periods. Oh. Chances of showers and a high of 25. For Wednesday, mainly cloudy with showers. Chances of a thunderstorm and a high of 23. Currently it's 20 or 68 Fahrenheit. News next at 2. On Hometown Radio 900 CHML.
A day is only 24 hours long, and of all the words we say every minute of every hour, there are two words that we don't say often enough. Thank you. Thank you for listening to 900 CHML. Thank you for participating in our interactive programming. Thanks for enjoying the music. But most of all, thank you for believing in our community. Together, we are people who care. Hometown Radio, 900 CHML. Coast to coast with Art Bell on 900 CHML.
With what must be obvious to some of you, depending upon when you lived and where you lived and, like, what is the big deal? If a person made a mistake and they want to correct their mistake, we will forgive them in almost anything, won't we? Almost anything. Except when it comes to certain kinds of things we're very suspicious about. And drugs is one of them.
Yeah.
And today we have... Well, see, I don't know how to play this because I don't know, this is not a direct first-hand admission, but sounds pretty good to me considering what the wife does. The widow at this particular point, because it's coming out today that one of my heroes, as you know, and I recommend to you every book he's ever written. The late astronomer and author Carl Sagan was an avid but secret. Now, hang on, friends. I hate to destroy one of the great icons of scientific education in this country, was a secret and avid marijuana smoker.
Yes!
Crediting it with inspiring essays and scientific insight.
Yes! Beautiful.
Now, using the pseudonym Mr. X, he wrote about his pot smoking in an essay published in 1971 in a book, Reconsidering Marijuana, by a Harvard professor back then. Imagine reconsidering it 30 years ago, or it's still badly. We can't even figure out how to grow hemp. Well, I'll get to that in a second. We're so freaked out about growing clothing fiber.
Yeah.
Are we uptight or what?
Yeah.
We just don't get it. It's so funny how we get mixed up. The medical marijuana is still struggling to relieve human pain.
Yes.
And back in 1971, under a pseudonym, Sagan admitted his marijuana use. Quote, I actually talked to your having a movie theater recently. He found I could get high just by inhaling the cannabis smoke. I don't know where you go to movies anymore. That can happen to you. He said, marijuana inspired some of his intellectual work. Well, listen, drugs inspiring intellectual work, from alcohol to opium. The drug is nothing new, right? Quote, I remember one occasion taking a shower with my wife while high.
Oh, we're losing him.
Oh,
oh, my God.
Don't break for ghosts.
Wall Street's always okay as long as they know what to expect, and I think they expect a quarter of a point hike tomorrow. It seems to be built in.
The Fed is likely to move rates up to help keep inflation in check.
Hair, do you know what hair is?
Hair?
Yeah. Tommy, besides the thing that's under your arms. Hair was a play. It was on a Broadway show that was very... But I just can't explain this. I feel stupid.
No, I've seen it. They made it into a movie with...
Can you guys set up another microphone for another guest here? That would help so much. What's your name?
Yeah, John.
Hi, John. John what?
John Bum.
And where are you from?
Ron Cockerman.
Good.
Long
I feel like I'm doing a game show. Where are you from, John? Come on down. And how old are you now?
19.
19. And you're 19.
Yeah.
And how old are you?
18.
Okay.
Right today?
Happy birthday to you. Did you go over there to Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah.
Did you have them sing to you?
No, we went to a film center cafe.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, that's good, that place. They got good hamburgers there.
Yeah.
Did you have one of those? Oh, you had veggies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wouldn't go to the film center cafe for vegetables.
No, they have great veggies.
Yeah.
Very good tuna.
How can someone throw up tuna? I mean, everybody has good tuna.
No,
why don't you wait until we get you a mic, all right? We're going
to
get you another microphone in here. We've got to have a mic for every person because the mics are really rather tight in the studio. And so is the company. We don't want to have too much good sound here. Now, Michael, you've been 20 years with the boarding school in Massachusetts, right? And you've had a lot of experience with young people ranging from what ages?
About 13 up to when they finish.
Which could be, what, 25?
21.
All right, enough of that. More later. Blah, blah, blah.
August 24th. Tuesday, August 24th, 1999. About 2:50 a.m. Econo Lodge, room 210, Scranton, Pennsylvania. We drove a total of 330 miles today, which length is going to be topped again and again for the rest of the week. But it was a lot for today, given that we started at 5:25 in the afternoon. The guy who was at the desk at the Socana Lodge is very friendly and personable. And none of that big city attitude that you get in big cities. And sometimes other places too, but that's where it emanates from, I think. It'll be good to see the road tomorrow by daytime and finally pick up the groove of the landscape that we've come into. Pennsylvania looks a lot different from southern New England. At least the more densely populated parts of southern New England.
Anyway, a lot of driving has to be accomplished, a lot of other things too. I guess that's it for now. Say goodnight, Mio.
Goodnight, Mio.
Thank you.
Battery check 1, 2, 3. Battery check 1, 2, 3. Battery check 1, 2, 3. Continuing on August 24th, 1999, the time is, TV will tell the time, provided it'll come on.
Next generation of SNL players, the long-term contract has become a mission at NBC.
Okay, give me the time. 10:51 a.m. Off. 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 There you go. 10:51 a.m., Stilicano Lodge, Scranton, Pennsylvania. Mio has done an excellent job in repacking the car. And she's now getting cleaned up. Deservedly. And we're going to go to the post office, which is right next door to this hotel. Motel, and mail off some poetry books and whatnot, some of which are bringing to the Burning Man Festival, and some were earmarked for friends here and there. What to say? Nothing, except we'll probably get on the road by noon, and we're going to have to wing it tonight in terms of camping. It's kind of a concern, because we're supposed to cover 600 miles a day, and even at 60 miles an hour, that's 10 hours. But the car's packed, and it's still running at this point, so that's good news. And we're both in good spirits, and everything is fine so far, so I guess that's all one can hope for. This would be day two of traveling, and we did just over 300 miles yesterday. Hopefully we'll do way more than that today over the course of time and accomplish other things. We need to buy things along the way and whatnot. Need to buy tent rebar, because at Burning Man in the Black Rock Desert in Nevada, the winds get so high that if you stake your tents with ordinary tent stakes, the wind will blow them away, or it can at times get strong enough to do that. So rebar is this sort of it's this reinforcement pipe that's used in construction, and it seems like it works in this case too. It's the kind of thing you get at Home Depot and places like that. Anyway, so I guess that's it for today, for this hotel, which I'll just say is pretty much like any other budget motel room. So it's not ugly. It's got a sort of nice flowery pattern that runs near the ceiling all along the walls. Sort of a border, I guess you'd call it, flowery brown background. It's got these interesting desolate pictures above each bed, trees in the snow, birds in the sky, sick kind of orange sun in the sky as well. And the one over Mio's bed has more or less the same thing, but with a couple of barns, it looks like, and a kind of a snow-covered path leading to them. Neat. I could probably sit here and look at them more. Anyway, this tape is running out, so I guess I'll conclude it here. Free HBO, too. Free HBO, John Murphy. That's what happens when you travel on the road. Sometimes you get free HBO. I can't think of another fucking thing to say at this point, except it's time to get on the road and have more adventures, and today will be much more of a traveling day than yesterday was. We'll be starting probably about 6 hours earlier in the day, so that's a good sign. Okay, that is it for this entry
and more later.
Muskrat, muskrat, candlelight, doing the town and doing it right in the evening. It's pretty pleasing. Muskrat Susie, muskrat Sam, do the jitterbug out in muskrat land and they shimmy. Sam is so skinny and they whirl and they twirl and they tangle, singing and jinging a jangle, float like the heavens above, looks like muskrat love. Nibbling on bacon, chewing on cheese, Sam says to Susie, honey, would you please be my missus? Susie says yes with a kiss. Now he's tickling her fancy, rubbing her toes, muzzle to muzzle. Now anything goes as they wriggle. Sue starts to giggle.